Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. This year, as of right now, we are sponsored by no one. But if, but if 200 of you donate a one-time donation of $12, we will give you two extra shows a month, including one per month where I will get drunk and give you a Saints history moment. How can you pass it up? $12. You're going to spend that at Starbucks by, like, tomorrow at 8 a.m. So all you have to do is 200 of you people do a one-time donation of $12. We'll keep a running track of it. And once you hit it, you get two extra shows a month. So there
or,
we go.
Or 100 of you can donate $24.
Yeah.
We'll even cut you a deal.
There
we'll
you go.
Cut you a deal.
There you go. That too.
Only 100.
And that basically covers the Pelican House old donation, right?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Or 300 of you.
I can't believe they were getting so much money.
Or 300 of you can donate $6.
Yeah. So basically, when the math equals out, we'll do it. And it wasn't... It's more than the Pelican House gave us because we're giving you extra shows because we'll have more money. It'll be worth our time and we'll do it. And it gives me an excuse to get drunk in the off season, which I need.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It's $8 if it's $300.
Stop with your math. So anyway, as for the actual Saints, they got their ass handed to them yesterday. I don't want to hear about this one score game. My ass. They got rolled. And Andrew, I'll start with you. Like Atlanta was like, yeah, we knew their plays in the first half. We were just calling out plays. We knew what they were going to run. Was there anything about yesterday that you were like, man, that surprised me? Because I watched and I was like, yeah, that's kind of how I thought it would go.
Yeah. I guess I was hoping the tackling would be better, especially early in the game. I mean, it's one thing when, you know, B.W. Webb and Sterling Moore getting roasted and Jairus Byrd is slow over the top. You know, and Devontae Harris is struggling, and nickel. Those are all things I expected. So, yeah, none of that surprises me. When the Falcons are continually running just a simple dump-off screen to the receiver, you know, where they spread it five out wide.
And he's pinballing
and
for 20
yards. They run that little bubble screen, you know, where, you know, one of the receivers comes in as a blocker and takes out the man in coverage. And Matt Ryan literally takes the snap out of the shotgun and unloads it on the receiver immediately who's standing at the line of scrimmage, and that play gains 17 yards every time. I mean, that's infuriating because I don't care how good the offense is. I mean, that's not a play that should be getting more than 7 yards ever. So, I mean, that was especially early in the game. I mean, the 75-yard run was ridiculous. You know, the thing that was frustrating about the run defense is, you know, kind of lost in all this is that they were kind of outstanding the whole game. I mean, they gave up 100 yards on two runs, and other than that, it was like 40 yards on 20 carries. So for
but
basically,
they gave up 100
you know,
yards on two carries.
Yeah, totally. So like, but I'm just saying, like 20 of the 22 carries was, I would say, excellent run defense, and it all goes out the window because of two plays. I mean, that's frustrating, but I guess my point is there were at least moments in run defense, which is kind of a microcosm of the season. They've been good against the run all year, except for, you know, mistakes at times. I mean, the pass defense was just the, you know, once again, like, to me, this game was a clear example that this team's pass rush just isn't good enough, and the secondary just isn't good enough to compete with playoff teams. And until they fix the secondary, and until they get a semblance of a pass rush, they're just not going to be able to win in the playoffs.
Or even get there.
Or even make the playoffs.
But
yeah.
Well, that goes to my point, Dave. Do you think yesterday, did yesterday Atlanta dropping 38 on them, did it change your mind about the narrative or the thought that people had of, hey, the defense is better, it's getting better, they've been good the second half? Did you watch yesterday and be like, oh, that it's fraud, they're still awful?
No, not really. If I'm being honest with you, I think half the guys on the Saints team probably were just sort of mailing it in. I mean,
I don't know about that. They fought back.
I mean, Atlanta had a lot more to play for.
Yeah, I just, you know, I hate to destroy everybody's perception of their idols, but they're just regular dudes.
Yeah.
And they have families and they have kids.
They were on booking, they were at booking vacations on Travelocity before kickoff, yeah.
Well, not even that, but I mean, you certainly don't want to end the season with some major injury and have to, you know, in the last game of the season that is worth nothing, technically.
Thank God Sheldon Rankins isn't hurt badly.
Yeah, well, exactly. And have to be spending your entire offseason rehabbing instead of enjoying vacation and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you're never going to hear it. The players are never going to say it. But I'm sure that there are players on the team who are, like, you know,
not Mark
who are
Ingram,
not giving
though.
It their
he was
all.
He was giving it his all. He wanted his six.
Ingram had a – Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Mike Thomas, they all had had milestones that they wanted to hit. And I'm sure you were going to bring it up anyway, but, I mean – holy crap, Mike Thomas! I mean, he had a better rookie year than Marcus Colston did.
And he missed. Did he miss one or two games?
He missed at least one. I don't know about two. You know, he had more touchdowns.
He missed one game.
Yeah.
More touchdowns, more receiving yards, more total catch. He had what, 92 catches? I mean, 90. That's ridiculous.
He had a better rookie season than Brandon Cooks.
You've got to be
creaming in your pants over this guy.
Is he, and anybody can answer this, is he the first training camp superstar to exceed his hype?
That's
a good question.
I mean, because he was the training camp superstar from like opening day, and he like
I can't even remember a training camp.
But he was like a third round pick. I mean, he was
no, but
you know,
I'm
he
second
was
ex- round.
Well, yeah, I get
so,
that.
Yeah, he was expected
I get
to be
that,
good.
But I mean,
right, he was
I
good.
I can't
right
remember
from
the last training camp hero that like made the team. I mean, I can't remember the last time a training camp hero like had more than like two scores in a year, you know.
Kevin, you're my go-to person. I saved this question just for you. You're my go-to person for Atlanta hatred and bile. I'm very concerned that the Falcons may go to the Super Bowl. Is my concern warranted? I feel like the NFC, even though Dallas is really good, like I feel like Atlanta getting that bye, like they could go to the Super Bowl. Tell me they're not going to go to the Super Bowl.
They might go to the Super Bowl. I mean,
God.
I mean, there's a decent enough possibility. I was getting into it with. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
I was
go ahead,
say,
please.
We are going to have. There is a distinct possibility, Kevin. And I don't mean to bring politics into it, but I'm going to do it anyway. There is a distinct possibility that we are going to have an NFC Championship game of Cowboys, Falcons, and President Trump all at the same time.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, for some of us, that is the apocalypse. I am not going to lie. I don't know what I would. I would root for Dallas, but man, I would feel really dirty about it.
I mean, listen. Oh, yeah. If it's
the Giants
if it's,
are going
listen,
to Super Bowl, so I wouldn't.
Listen,
worry
if it's between Dallas and the Falcons, I'm rooting for the Cow. I can at least look at it like, well, Dak Prescott, you know, like Tony Romo, get you know, everybody, all the Cowboys fans got raging ones for Tony Romo, and the second he gets hurt and Dak Prescott steps in, y'all finally do something in the playoffs. That's a sign, you jackasses. but then again, Jerry Jones gets to be happy, and I really don't like that. Yeah, this is.
You guys realize there's also the possibility that the Falcons lose their first game, their first playoff game at home.
Yeah, I mean,
oh no, I'm
who? Yeah, who would they?
And make the playoffs utterly delicious.
Who's the? But let's see. Let's see. If Seattle plays Detroit, so Seattle's probably going to beat Detroit, so they'd be the 3 seed. So they would go to Atlanta, and then you'd have Green Bay play the Giants. The best case scenario for Atlanta to lose is for like Detroit to beat Seattle, and then Green Bay win, and Atlanta have to play Green Bay. That's the best case scenario, I think, because I think Seattle, man, Andrew, that offensive line and their offense isn't that good. I don't know. When they go away from home, they suck this year. And I worry about – I think Atlanta could kick them in the balls because I think Vic Beasley would just destroy their offensive line. But, you know, it is always fun to root against Atlanta.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
I guess, Andrew, my question is –
Mm-hmm.
How much better is Atlanta than the Saints heading into next? Like, how big is the gap in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't care what the yardage numbers say. I think Atlanta is a better offense right now. I think their offensive line is better. I think they have a running back that is a game breaker. You know, he's different than Ingram. I would say that, you know, he's not as much of a get you a third and one tough yard type of back. You know, he's not a power guy. But I mean, in terms of just being dynamic, his shiftiness, his ability to just stay alive, stay behind his blockers and then make a cut and make you pay. And then his ability in the passing game. I mean, Freeman is awesome. And he has been killing the Saints these last few years. And then, you know, Matt Ryan, you know, has had time this year. So he's been able to pick his spots, and you know, they have got so many weapons, but I mean, it all starts with Julio Jones, obviously. So I think their offense right now is better than the Saints.
Hopefully Shanahan will leave.
I would say defensively, you know, I just think the big difference is that they have young guys making plays. You know, the Saints, I mean, Cam Jordan a little bit, and Rankins, you know, showed some things, which is nice, and Vaccaro. But, like, I mean, Vic Beasley and Deion Jones, I mean, the Saints don't have anything like that. I mean, Vic Beasley led the league in sacks this year. You know, when's the last time the Saints had a guy that led the league in sacks? I mean, it was, what, Leroy Glover?
Yeah.
So, I think just in terms of, like, individual talent, the Falcons have been able to find guys that you have to account for. And I would put Desmond Trufant. I would say Trufant is better. He's better than anything the Saints have on defense. So, you know, I would say that Atlanta defensively, I mean, they haven't arrived, and certainly we saw the Saints kind of make some plays on that defense and score on them these two games this year. But Atlanta at least has, well, I wouldn't say top to bottom, they're super sound defensively. They have playmakers. They have really good playmakers, and I would say the Saints have none.
Yeah. Now we'll get to the $20,000 questions, which I thought we settled this last year when Sean Payton said he was staying and signed a 5-year deal. But apparently, the Saints are like a mid-major MAC program, and Sean Payton is the hot young coach that everybody wants, and he's looking around, thinking of going to a big conference. Kevin, I've just had enough of it. What other coach has ever gone through this 2 years in a row where they're like, oh, the coach might leave, they might trade him, he's looking at other jobs. Like, when has this ever happened in the NFL 2 years in a row? I mean, Gruden left and went from Oakland to Tampa, but he didn't flirt for 2 years and then go.
Now, wait a minute. First of all, I don't remember last year. All I remember last year is people like Ian Rappaport. I actually only remember Ian Rappaport reporting this as a as a rumor. Now this year you've had some of those guys, and you had Jay Glazer, but I didn't actually believe any of it until Larry Holder reported it. That's when I finally took it seriously. Up until then, I never really gave it much salt.
I mean, but Kevin, like, I can't think of any time where any other coach has done it, and I just, like, Kevin, you'll remember, like, Benson fired Randy Mueller because he flirted with Atlanta. I feel like if Benson wasn't eating ice cream and drinking Chardonnay by the gallon, or red wine by the gallon, like, he wouldn't put up with this. Am I wrong for thinking that?
If Tom Benson knew he was Tom Benson, he wouldn't put up. Yeah. I think Tom Benson thinks he's an 18th century gentleman.
Andrew, I guess I'll go to you. Tonight, Sean Payton said what did he say? I expect to be here. I plan on being here. Blah, blah, blah. But the Rams, I guess, Andrew, I'm thinking that if Sean Payton is going to leave, it's not going to be like he's going to go and interview with the Rams and see if they get along. Like, if Sean Payton ever leaves the Saints and they don't fire him, it'll just be like boom, boom, boom. Done. It won't drag out at all. It'll just be like, Sean Payton's going to the Rams, second round pick, boom, done. You know? Sort of like the Jimmy Graham trade happened.
First of all, I don't think he's going to the Rams. I really don't. I just think they don't really have much ammo. I don't really think that Rams would want to part with a second or a fourth, because that's all they have. You know, they don't have a first or a third, and I don't think Sean Payton would be that excited to go to a team
that doesn't have a
draft pick in the first 3-4 rounds.
Oh, and by the way, I forget the guy's name, but he's really good, and he breaks down like every quarterback play of the whole year and like writes his perspectives on quarterbacks, mm-hmm. which is really cool. He's Irish, which is weird, but he graded Goff, and he's like, Goff, if you measure for like errors and whatever – you can argue that he had the worst quarterback season ever in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But I know Sean Payton really likes his potential, and I think Sean Payton thinks highly enough of himself.
He liked Grayson, like, too.
In my offense, it would be different. but anyway.
Yeah, but Jared Goff is no Tyler Palco, man. Let me tell you.
That's how the dude sounds. And I want to have.
Oh, I love it.
And I want to have him on the podcast. I wonder if he'll get
Sean
mad.
Canfield.
I wonder if he'll get mad.
Oh, Sean Canfield. He's a fine gentleman, but the man can't throw a pass.
He is. He's like that.
Can't throw a pass, man.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You give the man a hurl, and he can go out on the field and swing the club around there on the hurling fields. And that's, you know, there's some fine hurling to be had there. But the man's not an NFL quarterback. And Sean Payton drafted him. Now, this Jared Goff fella, he might have been fine at the university, but not at the professional level, I tell you.
Note to self, X off
these. Can we just have a podcast of that for the rest of the show? Just do that for an hour, Kevin.
Now, if I were to get Sean Payton's ear, I'd sit him down at the bar and we'd have some Killians, because I tell you, Killians, it truly is the sweat of the Lord. And I would just tell him, listen, you can't, just the Rams are not the franchise to go to. If the Saints want to fleece a franchise, it's not the Rams.
Who would it be? Who would it be, Irish Kevin?
Well, I haven't had enough time to really look at the statistics and crunch the numbers, if you will.
I mean, does it get any better than Leprechaun, Kevin?
No,
Leprechaun.
To go talk to the father on this one.
Oh, Leprechaun Kevin is the best. That's what you can get. You could possibly get an extra podcast of Leprechaun Kevin every month.
Dare I say Leprechaun Kevin is better than Sir Kevin?
He might be. I think I feel like Leprechaun Kevin is just strong the whole way through. And the
Leprechaun, Yeah.
Yeah, I feel.
Just shut up.
So
you should probably just hang up now. Actually, go out on a high note like Costanza.
No, I've still got a rant in me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, hold on. So what I was going to say about golf real quick is that I don't think...
Are you going to do the rant, though, as Irish Kevin now, though?
No, I can't possibly do that.
Oh, come on.
All right. So what were you going to say about golf? Go ahead,
Andrew? No, the Rams, I just don't think it's the destination for Peyton because they're interviewing 8 to 10 guys. And I said this on Twitter. I don't...
But his daughter lives in L.A.
I don't see this long, drawn-out process where...
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, we're going to interview a bunch of dudes. And, like, the Saints aren't going to mess around with that. And Sean Payton, like, you either want me or you don't. And, like, you know, I'm not going to go – Sean Payton's not going to go interview in L.A. and, like, compete with 7 dudes for the job. So, like, he's already got a job that pays him $9 million a year. So I think the biggest threat to him leaving would be, like, for the Broncos, let's say.
Yes.
Hey, we have Paxton Lynch. Mickey, we'll give you a first or a second, whatever, you know, like we'll give you a nice draft pick for Peyton and Sean, you can come here and you know, they immediately come out of the gates and say, you're our guy. Here's the draft pick. Let's go. And that's how he leaves. He's got
Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a scenario where I could see him leaving. But this whole Rams thing, how they're dancing with interviewing all these people, like there's no way this ends with them landing Sean Payton,
it's they're owned by Stan Kroenke, and they're run by Kevin Demoff. Those two, I wouldn't let run a fucking taco truck.
Here's the thing.
I wouldn't let them run a fucking taco truck in downtown Phoenix.
Downtown Phoenix is not the taco market you think it is, though. So,
okay, fine. Downtown San Antonio.
There you go.
His daughter goes to college in L.A., like, or nearby.
She goes to
Bill Cowher's daughter. Didn't Bill Cowher's daughter go to college in the Carolinas way back in the day?
Yes.
And wasn't the hot rumor, oh, Bill Cowher's going to come coach the Carolina Panthers. Yep. How'd that turn out, you jackass experts?
Good memory, Kevin. That's a good point.
Yeah, I made a salient point. It's 2 days into 2017, and I've made a salient point. I'm done for the year.
Kevin, maybe now you should hang up.
George Costanza, leave on a high note.
But I just hit 2 home runs. I'm going for a third, Chief.
Here's the thing with Sean Payton is the Saints, like, it can't drag out one because Sean Payton's just not going to do what you said. He's not going to go through a dog and pony show. And second of all, the Saints can't let him, dude. If the Saints let it drag out for 2 weeks and then he leaves, dude, all the good candidates are gone and the Saints still have to hire a coach, man. You know? It's got to get done. I mean, I'm sure Mickey Loomis has a list, but who knows who he has on the list. Let's play a fun game, though.
Well, that's why they sat down immediately, according to Holder, that's why they sat down immediately after the game.
Yeah.
On Sunday, and to talk about what Peyton wanted to do and what his feelings were, and it sounds like Peyton said, "I'm just going to stay." So,
or Mickey Loomis said, "You're not leaving unless I get a one." And Sean Payton, Sean Payton said, "Cool."
And Peyton was like, "Ah, fuck."
I guess I'm staying.
You have to make $9 million. You don't want an unhappy coach, do you? Let's play a fun game, Kevin. I'll start with you. Let's do the scenario of Sean Payton leaves. Who's your nightmare scenario that the Saints hire? And it can be total...
Doug Marrone.
Oh, that's your nightmare scenario? That's a
Doug
real...
Marrone.
Oh, man.
Doug
that's
Marrone.
Like the most likely scenario. That's a...
And I don't give a shit. Doug Marrone followed by...
Jeff Fisher. LA and New Orleans just swap coaches.
Never mind. Never mind.
Dave,
Jeff Fisher,
Dave, I know
over
you're
Doug
kinda, Dave, I know you're kind of checked out with Canal Street Chronicles at this point, but you need to talk to your boys about the suggestion of Chip Kelly today.
I saw that.
I mean, that was trash. That's my nightmare scenario.
Even worse than Marrone.
I mean, yes. Chip Kelly, you might as well say Mike Smith.
I mean,
this was Chip Kelly's first year in San Francisco, right? This was it.
I like that Chip Kelly on the way out dropped.
Didn't even give him a second year.
Chip Kelly on the way out dropped the "I wanted Dak Prescott, but the douche GM wouldn't draft him" on the way out. On the way out the door. At least with Doug Marrone, they might like keep Carmichael, keep Allen. They could go all in for one more year with Breeze. It might not be awful from the jump. Dave, who would be your worst case scenario?
I said Jeff Fisher.
You said Jeff. Oh my god.
We just swap coaches with the Rams.
If they hire Jeff Fisher, we might have to fundraise for a plane over airline drive and to start an Occupy Airline Drive movement and camp out in the parking lot. We wouldn't go backwards though.
We would just be seven and nine in perpetuity.
Oh yeah. You know who I wouldn't mind. Although I don't even know if he's interested in getting back into coaching. But you know, Tom Coughlin is interesting to me. I'd be interested in him.
I know he's old.
It would never happen, but I would prefer Gruden to Coughlin personally.
I would be interested in Gruden.
He'd have to take a pay cut.
No, it's not happening.
He'd have to take a pay cut.
Well, he doesn't make $9 million a year, does he? That's what the Saints are currently paying their coach.
He makes like 10, I think, at ESPN.
Oh wow. Okay.
So maybe just a little.
And he doesn't have to wake up at 4 a.m. every day.
He does that anyway.
That's true.
So Andrew, who would be your nightmare scenario?
Chip Kelly. Could you imagine Chip Kelly trying to get Drew Brees to learn his offense? And
yeah, with
Brees at 38 years old, and I mean,
yeah, we're not gonna awful. we're just gonna go yeah, fast. No, we're not gonna do different formations and packages. We're just gonna go faster. Yeah, that's gonna work out great.
And Brees is so OCD. Like, if anything, Brees with his like checks and his audibles, like Brees. Brees couldn't handle it. Like, he would have a meltdown in Chip Kelly's offense because he'd be like, I'm not ready to snap the ball. I haven't accounted for this blitz and this look. And, you know, like,
no, but you know,
and
he would
Chip
have
Kelly, a meltdown. Chip Kelly would be like, now listen, I've designed 75 new plays that result in you throwing the ball to Colby Fleener and avoiding Michael Thomas at all costs.
Here's the one.
Interpret that how you will.
Here's the fun part of Chip Kelly, though. I think Drew Brees would go total rogue, and he would grow the old man beard, and he would just start running the offense himself. And after games,
like Tiger Woods beard,
yeah, like the Tiger, and just go totally rogue, and like his press conference after game would be phenomenal because he would just not give a shit because he knows he'd be out the door in 2018. I think so. That could be fun, but 4-12 wouldn't.
I think we need to talk about Brees for a second here.
No, well, I get to give my nightmare scenario.
Oh, right. Okay.
My nightmare scenario is the Saints drag Peyton out, so no one's left, and they hire Charlie Weiss, wherever Charlie Weiss is.
That's not even.
You know, feasible. That's not even remotely in the cards.
Or it would be Rex Ryan.
Oh, God. Rex Ryan would be horrible.
Andrew, we do need to talk about Brees. He's had some interesting comments, like, in postgame. He was like, I'm tired of this, which I used as a jumping-off point for just a rant in my WWL column, which got a ton of hits. Yay, me. But he's like, I'm tired of 7-9. I'm tired of saying, this next year's going to be the year. And he's like, I'm playing out the contract, which I thought was really interesting. Your thoughts? I mean, I'm thinking that this is it, man. 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all said that next year we all kind of thought that Sean Payton was going to stay. I mean, we've said this kind of all season long, and we kind of expected the team maybe not to be as good this year, or kind of stay the same. But we kind of, and I think a lot of Saints fans feel this way. We kind of all envisioned, 2017's it, and Sean Payton has to win in 2017 or it's over. And I just think Breeze doesn't want to extend his stay in New Orleans until he sees what happens next year. And whether that means retirement or if it's another 7-9
or no way he's on tire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably
no
not.
Way.
Yeah, if Sean Payton were to leave this offseason, you know, then I think there's no way Breeze stays. You know, I think that he would run out his contract and then maybe join Sean Payton wherever he goes. But I think he'll give it one more year, and if the Saints make the playoffs and want to renew, then great. But if it's another 7-9 season, I just think, yeah, Breeze will be like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
And Payton will be too, I think. Because I think next year, like all the things that how many years will that be since 2009 next year?
Eight.
So like all the things that we don't like, but we kind of have put up with, like the slow start, and they get back to 4-4, and then they collapse again. Like, and we've kind of like grinned and bear it, and like good cheer, and like whatever. I just think next year, like the fan base ain't putting up with any of that shit, and they better get from the jump, be good, and I just think next year they're gonna, like, if it doesn't go well, Drew Brees and Sean Payton are gonna hit the eject button. You know,
All right. Well, I have an opinion on this whole thing.
Go ahead.
Well, it's funny because actually last weekend, over the Christmas weekend, I did have the opportunity to talk with somebody close to Drew Brees. And I actually think that, sauces.
was it Tom Payton?
No, it wasn't Tom Payton.
Oh, yeah, check his website. The magician will tell us if Sean Payton is staying or not.
That's right, we forgot to do that this year. No, to be honest with you, I think Drew Brees is not tied to Sean Payton. So, and I think that I think Drew Brees is going to play another 3, maybe 4 years, and I think it's going to be here. Look, he's. I think at this point, again, I hate to be, I hate to not sound like a total fanboy.
You?
Yeah, no, I know. But I think Drew cares just as much about his own personal legacy. And this is not what was, this is, I didn't get this from the source. This is my own personal opinion. I want to clarify the difference there. But
yeah, he is kind of Mr. New Orleans wholesome guy. Save.
But
the
wait,
city.
What's the source? What's the source?
That he plans to play another. That he definitely plans to play another 4 years. I don't know whether they were counting this. It said 4 years. I don't know whether they're counting this season or not. Which puts him at like 42.
But he's said that in the press before.
But of course, obviously, this is all depending on health and injuries and that kind of stuff. But they did also say, you know, here in New Orleans, and I don't think he plans on going anywhere. And I mean, again, I think Drew is just as concerned with his own personal legacy and the stats. He's so close now to potentially putting up all time great numbers and besting some of the major records. And everything that I have ever known about Drew Brees, that kind of stuff is, you know, his whole personality.
It matters
his whole,
a lot.
Yeah, his whole personality is to be the best and to work as hard as possible and all that stuff. So that's one aspect of it.
He's big on baseball history, and I just know he's a big stats guy. With other interests in sports. So
And then the second thing, again, going back to what I said earlier, is that these guys they're people. They have families and lives and wives and all that kind of stuff. Like, I just don't see him at this point. I mean, he's been in New Orleans for 10 years, going on 11 years now, and he's deeply rooted here and in this community, in our neighborhood and uptown, and I just don't see him moving to another city and dealing with all that crap, going to a new team, learning a new offense, and all that crap.
Well,
just to
Peyton
chase
Manning
a
did
championship.
It.
Peyton Manning,
just to chase a championship. But again, I don't think that Peyton Manning and Drew Brees are the same kind of person.
And
I just don't.
And
I really
Peyton
don't.
Man- Peyton Manning is a cyborg assembled personally by Archie Manning and a team of engineers and scientists.
Let's be real. The Peyton Manning to Denver was a rare circumstance. If the Colts had been 1-15, what are they? 1-15 or 2-14? When Peyton got hurt,
Peyton was coming off surgery. They would have
kept Peyton. The only reason they got rid of him is because they had Andrew Luck, who was a slam dunk. He's going to quarterback your team for 15 years. Guy, if Peyton Manning would have got injured and the draft would have been like this year, where there's no good quarterback, the Colts would have kept Peyton Manning and drafted whoever, and said, Peyton's going to come back. We're going to fix the defense. When Peyton gets back, everything will be okay. Like, that was a unique circumstance where Peyton Manning left, you know? The one thing I will say about Drew Brees is these endings, like, there's so much left to go. I mean, what if he gets hurt? What if he starts to stink? What if, you know what I'm saying? Like there's all sorts of scenarios that could make the decision for the Saints really hard. Like, what if the Saints start 6-0, but then he breaks his, you know, he has, like, what happened to David Carr, where he breaks his leg and he's out for the year, and the Saints were 7-1. What do they do? He's 38 and coming off a broken leg. Do you re-sign? Like, there's all kinds of variables that have to come into it. But I think the bottom line for me, and I was thinking this as I was
I think Brees is aware of that too.
Yeah.
That's why he's like, let's just see how this year goes.
The one thing that I was when I was driving around today and I thought of this is, and I'm not saying this just because I'm diehard Saints fans or whatever. If you have Saints season tickets next year, which my family does, you don't want to be selling them on the ticket exchange if the Saints are bad, or you don't want to go. Like, if you can go to the games next year, you want to make sure you go to every single one if Drew Brees is starting, because you just don't know when it's going to be over.
Yeah.
And you want to go, because even if the Saints are the same old 7-9 or worse or whatever, you can still go, and Drew Brees might drop 404 touchdowns, and you want to see it. And that's my advice for next year. Don't be selling.
One other thing. That's good advice. One other thing I will say about this Brees situation, I just think the contract negotiation has taken a toll on him. You know, now we've done this twice now,
yeah,
where there was a lot of stress, there was a lot of negativity from fans towards Drew, a lot of negativity towards Loomis, and I think Brees wasn't a fan of how things played out. I mean, I think he understands, but I think in a perfect world, both deals would have been done a lot sooner. And I think he views it as a distraction. And I just think he wants to be like, look, let me just play out this next year, and either I'll be awesome and put up 5,000 yards again, and then I'm on an open market, so you better pay me.
Oh my
God. Or I'm awful, and if you try to lowball me, I'll just go somewhere else.
Here's a fun question, Kevin. And you can start, and we can all answer. Let's go most fun, exciting scenario for the Saints in 2017. They spend $100 million of Benson's money in free agency. They fix all their holes. They have another really good draft. And in 2017, Drew Brees does 2011, but better, and he wins an MVP. Whether the Saints win the Super Bowl, you don't know, because the playoffs get weird. But what the hell would he get on the open market at 38 if he put up 5,200 yards and 45 touchdowns and the Saints went 13-3? Like, what would he get on the open market?
I honestly can't fathom him winning the MVP anymore. Like, I can't fathom. Well, I know, but what I'm saying is. The Saints are going to win the Super Bowl before Drew Brees wins a fucking MVP award.
Like, it's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter
what
he does.
Right. It doesn't matter what he does. It does not fucking matter what he does.
I've got another good hypothetical.
All right. But
I can't answer that hypothetical.
I mean, I think a team would give him it's possible they would give him 3 years, $100 million. A crazy-ass team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what's your hypothetical, Andrew?
Because they can always hit the eject button in year two. All right, so...
No, I mean a team. I mean a team would give him 3 years, $100 million, and guarantee like 70 of it.
Yeah. I could totally see it. Yeah, teams are desperate for an elite quarterback. I mean, Manning made crazy money at 38 or 39 after neck surgery. So
yeah,
definitely. But okay, so obviously we're all on board that we don't want the Falcons to win the Super Bowl, and if they did, that would be the biggest disaster. But you have a choice.
I don't want anybody from the NFC to win.
You can either have Matt Ryan as MVP, but you're guaranteed that the Falcons lose their first playoff game, or Matt Ryan doesn't win the MVP, but they make the Super Bowl and lose. Which would you take?
I think I'd want...
I'm totally okay with them going to the Super Bowl and losing. Nobody remembers the loser in the Super Bowl.
And you get the Super Bowl hangover bonus for next year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that.
Right, that Carolina had, yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that shit. Plus you can say, hey, wait, you guys are 0-2. You guys made it to the Super Bowl twice. Congratulations. You blew both opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
Congrats, fella.
That's an easy one.
So you guys prefer that to them getting housed in their first playoff game again?
Yeah, because I think it benefits the Saints more, especially especially if they would either get dump trucked in the Super Bowl or Matt Ryan would just be awful.
And you know? I'll also add that.
So
that
you guys really don't want Matt Ryan winning MVP?
No, I just think I want what benefits the Saints the most. And I think Super Bowl hangover does.
Do we think Matt Ryan's winning MVP?
I think he is.
Or would Aaron Rodgers or Brady?
I think it's going to be tough because I think you're going to have split votes. I think Zeke Elliott's going to get a chunk. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get a chunk. I don't think Matt Ryan's going to get that many votes.
Prescott? I think Elliott and Prescott are going to cancel each other out, yeah. I think.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to win. I think Aaron
Rodgers. Bullshit.
I mean, I think.
Who do you think, Dave?
Who do I think is going to win it?
Yeah.
Shit, it could be Dak Prescott.
No way.
I mean, no way. Honestly, I think Brady
for the Cowboys.
The best player in the NFL this year. I don't know if the 4-game suspension prevents him from winning, but I think
right.
I think if you look at just number, stats, performance, obviously it's got to be per capita with Brady because he played
how badly
games,
do people
but...
want to shove it to Goodell? That's a factor too, like giving Brady the MVP just like sticks it to Goodell.
Oh, true.
So that's a wild card in there, which wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't mind that. Like Goodell getting the shaft is always a plus. So we'll see.
Yeah, the other thing about the Falcons going to the Super Bowl is that whether you like it or not, it does make it interesting for Saints fans. You know, it gives us a rooting interest. We automatically become huge fans of whatever AFC team is playing the Falcons.
You mean the Patriots? Because the AFC playoff bracket is garbage? Dude, the Saints...
I can't believe the Chiefs have a first-round bye. That's
Saints,
really surprising.
This Saints team, this 7-9 Saints team, if you put them in the AFC bracket, I think they'd have a decent shot to get to the AFC championship.
All right, let's
get a punch. Get a puncher's chance.
You send them to Houston? They're beating Houston because Houston's starting Brock Osweiler at quarterback. They'd beat Houston. They'd have to go to New England in the cold or Kansas City in the cold. That could be tough. But, dude, I mean, the AFC bracket is bad. I mean, the Raiders are garbage. Miami's there. I mean, come on. The AFC. New England's going to the Super Bowl. That's it. You think Alex Smith...
I'm telling you, it's going to be Giants-Patriots again.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
And I'll root for the fucking Giants again.
Kansas City is sneaky good, though.
Yeah, but Alex Smith...
They must be, because they
Alex
got a freaking...
Smith
and Andy, line. And you got Andy Reid on the troll on the sidelines, man. It's like...
It's true.
Kansas City's going to get... Kansas City.
Where's my other rant, Kevin?
Yeah, what was your other rant?
Yeah, we were talking about the Falcons.
Yeah, but I mean, all right.
We just send them out cold.
So I'm on Twitter last night, and some knucklehead Falcon fan starts getting into it. I don't even know who. I don't even know where from what bog this guy emerged from. But this clown shoe starts getting into it, and he's like, "I had a Falcons, yeah, the Falcons, baby," and I'm just like, "What? What? Win a playoff game? Score more than 2 points in a playoff game, and come to me." And then he retweets this other goofball Falcon fan who's like, "Yeah, the Falcons are, you know, Falcons, just two more wins, baby, just two more wins." And I screen grabbed this because I didn't want this person to delete the tweet. I screen grab it, and I say,
good move. Veteran internet guy move.
And I say, wait a second, what are you talking about? I send it to the first knucklehead. I say, hang on a minute, y'all ain't gonna win a championship. What are you talking about? I said, do you not see it? Like, listen, I'm in St. Louis. I'm an expert on piss poor educational systems. I'm from New Orleans. Also, further an expert on piss poor public education systems. The Atlanta public education system must be the drizzling shits if you Falcon fans think you only need to win two more games to win a championship. Okay? Now, I explained this to the Falcon fan, and he wouldn't acknowledge it. He chose not to acknowledge. He just
which game
just
was
said,
he omitting?
He just didn't recognize it. He just didn't answer me. He didn't answer me on that. He said, "Yeah, the Falcons are going to win a championship, and that victory party is going to be sweet." I said, "Okay, yeah, you're not getting an invite. It's one because nobody gives a shit about you, and two, there ain't going to be a victory party. It's going to be a pity party, and it's going to be you and five other jackasses all wearing Michael Vick jerseys talking about the good old days. That's what it's going to be. That's what that's going to be." And then I get brought down into a rabbit hole looking at other Falcon fan tweets and this, that, and the other thing. Matt Ryan's going to win the MVP, blah, 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 blah.
They are hard. They are riding that hard.
He'll have that. Oh, good Lord. Like the back of a video, you know, like those movies in the back of an old video store that I used to work at.
Blockbuster.
All right, well.
No. Hey, I'm not done yet.
All right,
So I get on this, and it's like, oh, yeah, Drew Brees, you know, pad stats. Has Matt Ryan hit 5,000 yards once in his life? Once in his professional career? No. He may never hit 5,000 yards. And people want to piss and moan. Drew Brees has more 5,000-yard seasons than the next four guys combined have 5,000 yards. They each only got it once. Peyton Manning, as awesome as he is, he broke the record for single yards in a season. That was his one time over 5,000. Drew Brees done it five goddamn times. Did Rich Gannon get pissed on when he was prolific as a passer? And was he being told, oh, he's collecting stats? Did Peyton Manning get told he's collecting stats? Did Tom Brady get told he's collecting stats? Matt Stafford, all these other guys, were they always told they were collecting stats? No, it's only Drew. Only Drew somehow gets hit with this bullshit. Oh, he's padding stats. And I'm hearing it from Falcon fans. I said, let me tell you something. Actually, I didn't even get to say this to him because I just had to turn my phone off. Otherwise, I'd have chucked it out of my goddamn house into the street. I tell you what. I hope the Falcons go to the Super Bowl and get pantsed in front of the largest audience. I hope it starts off as the largest audience ever, and then by the third quarter, nobody's even paying attention anymore. I hope the ratings get cut in half right after halftime, because nobody cares anymore, because the Falcons are getting goddamn obliterated.
Dude,
on national television. I hope the Falcons are the last franchise to win a Super Bowl. I hope the Lions get in ahead of them. I hope the Browns get in ahead of them. I hope the Chargers get in. I hope Jacksonville wins a goddamn. I hope if Goodell gets his big boy gets his Christmas wish, and they get a franchise in another freaking city. Like if they somehow get a 33rd team or some bullshit in London, I hope that franchise wins a Super Bowl. I hope. In fact, I hope it laps the field again. I hope the Browns win it twice before the Falcons get one.
Let me tell you something.
And then I tell you what, I personally hope that every living Falcon fan now is in the cold fucking earth before the Falcons win a Super Bowl.
Let me tell you something. The NFL, okay? the TV.
You will be me, you. I hope my grandkids are in the home on their deathbeds before the Falcons win a Super Bowl.
That's a long way off.
Win a Super Bowl.
Let me tell you something.
Okay? I hope they are literally playing in actual Megatron's asshole. Not just that shitty stadium that they're building and that the city and state of Atlanta and Georgia got boondoggled into. I hope we are invaded by giant actual robots in the future. They become our overlords, force us to play sports for their own amusement, and then the Falcons win a Super Bowl playing literally in Megatron's asshole.
Atlanta, Kansas City would be the lowest Super Bowl rating of the last 30 years if that happened. The NFL TV executives would be jumping out of windows. If you had Matt Ryan,
good.
Matt
good.
Ryan and Alex Smith, the only thing
good
would be like
good.
Maybe like the Texans, Atlanta, that would be pretty bad too. Because you'd have like Phil Savage or whoever the quarterback is for the Texans. That'd be bad.
Tom Savage,
Phil Savage.
Savage Garden.
All right, we got a question, so we'll try to get through them. This is from Dylan. Who is more likely to be back next year, Jari Evans or Nick Fairley? Dave, who's more likely to be back?
Oh, Jesus. Well, considering the Saints are going to do the opposite of what I think they should do and probably sign Nick Fairley to a six-year, $70 million contract, I'm going to say Nick Fairley.
That's about the going rate for a defensive tackle with 6.5 sacks, Dave.
God.
You think you're making it funny, but you're really not.
The funny part is that the Saints are going to be the idiots that do it.
This is Should the Saints target an elite offensive weapon in free agency this offseason? Yes, a guard. Was this year 7-9 record to be blamed on coaching or the players?
I'm going to respond to that question, but first I'm going to say elite offensive player. I would like to see a dynamic receiving back. They were hoping to get that with Spiller. Nope. I still think this offense would benefit from that.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
And as much as I love Ingram, and Ingram has played well enough that he deserves to be on the field regardless of the play call. Again, I would love to see him complimented by a back that's like the Reggie Bush Sproles type guy.
I believe there's a certain free agent that is available that his wife could lift the curse.
His wife.
Sproles is a free agent.
His wife.
Sproles is a free agent, right? You could bring back Sproles.
I'm pretty sure his wife burned that bridge.
It never happened. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure Sproles also said he's retiring after this year.
No, next he's
going to
play.
Is he going back to Philly?
I think he's.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, he's got one more year. Okay.
I don't know.
That would be the fan base would be pumped if they brought back Sproles.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Has Larry Holder become?
He's still good.
He is.
Wait. So hold on there. I didn't answer the other question. So 7-9 more to blame on the players or who?
The coaches.
I would say definitely the coaches. And I would say specifically Greg McMahon, because he's responsible for at least two, maybe three losses. We're talking about 9-7, 10-6. And I mean, he was so bad at his job I mean,
they brought in
like,
the bops.
Whatever.
How
they,
bad yeah, was he?
They had to bring in the bops. They brought in the bops and asked Greg McMahon, "What is it you do here?"
Let me tell you something. Sean Payton leaving. Discussion.
I'm a people person.
Sean Payton, the talk of all the talk of Sean Payton, will he stay or will he go, has sidetracked the media from asking a very important question of Sean Payton. Why haven't you fired Greg McMahon yet? That mm-hmm. didn't get asked. And usually the firings come right like this week or next, right? If they're going to do anything, Andrew, it would be pretty soon, right? Usually,
yeah. I think you could blame the players from the standpoint of injuries, but I don't really think you can blame the players from the standpoint of like talent or effort. I thought the effort was good all year. I just think injuries and talent, you know, kind of prevented them from being as good as they could have been.
This is from
kind of important.
This is from Brian.
Yeah.
Higher probability.
Kind of a big deal.
Higher probability. Sober Ralph for 2017 or Peyton Nets the Saints 2 first-round draft picks in a trade. You've got a higher odds of me being sober. There is no way on God's green earth. I mean, a team give up 2 number ones for Sean. Can any of you even conceive of a team being that desperate and stupid as to give the Saints 2 number ones for Sean Payton?
Yes, the Browns could do that.
No, Browns' whole plan is to they might be terrible, but their whole strategy now is to acquire draft picks. Jim Irsay on a
go ahead.
Jim Irsay on a 2-day bender of like Percocet, bourbon, and cocaine. Maybe. And it's just a maybe. It wouldn't necessarily happen.
Wait, what was the Larry Holder question?
The Larry Holder question is Larry Holder the new Ian Rappaport of New Orleans? I feel like Larry did a bang up job reporting this. Like I don't feel like Larry was throwing stuff against the wall. I feel like Larry was really, you know.
Yeah, this is exactly what I was talking about earlier. You know, Ian Rappaport's job is to cover the entire league. He's covering 32 teams. Larry Holder's job is to cover one team, the Saints. You know, Ian Rappaport's source could be some guy in a bathroom stall that knocks 3 times on the sidewall. You know, Larry Holder, I would have to assume and would like to think that he's got a lot of different sources and better sources and more inside sources. So, like I said earlier, if Larry Holder is reporting it, then I believe it. But when somebody like Lacanfora or Rappaport is reporting it, I certainly question it.
All right. Kevin, I saved this question for you. I'm glad I remember to do it. This is a front runner. I know it's early in 2017, but this is front runner for fan question of the year. This is from Chris Stefanka. Kevin, since the Saints have graduated from sports hernias to broken legs as the injury du jour, what's next? Pneumonia, juvenile diabetes, or my personal favorite, a hysterical pregnancy?
I mean, wait.
He didn't specify with the hysterical pregnancy, so I don't know if it's like a Saints male player that thinks they're pregnant, or they actually are pregnant, or it's a what, you know, like he didn't specify, so you can do with that what you will.
Hang on a second. I've got an answer somewhere. Let me make sure I've got the right answer here. God damn it.
Dr. Paging Dr. Kevin.
Yeah. All righty.
Dabalina, Mr. Dab. Bob Dabalina.
Well, if I would have to answer that question, I would have to say that it's the Gortamor, which is the Gaelic way of saying the Great Famine. So I think what we're looking at is we're looking at all of our crops just withering and dying, and the Saints players who do ingest the food would be cripplingly ill for the season. So that I would have to say would be my pick for the the strange medical.
So it'd be like Jari Evans out with a crop famine.
I would say Jari Evans would be out with a gout.
Thanks, Chris. You're a front runner for question of the year. If we gave out prizes, you...
or maybe Cody Fleener are out with the scurvy, so to speak.
So thanks to everyone for the question. And once again, if 200 of you donate $12, as soon as we hit 200 people that donate $12, you get 2 extra podcasts a month. So you want to donate, help out the cause. So
I'll ask Father Houlihan to raid the collection plate for us.
So you can find Kevin on the Twitters. He doesn't have the Irish accent on Twitter, or maybe he can figure out.
You can just imagine what I'm saying in an Irish accent.
And then you can go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got his... Andrew, do you have your grades up?
I do.
Even though it's holiday time, Andrew's always on it.
C-minus all the way around.
Dave, you'll be writing at least one article on Canal Street Chronicles in 2017, right?
Probably just about one. Maybe two.
Maybe. So,
not including this each podcast.
So for Dave, for Kevin, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.
Cheerio.
I'm glad we're done. I gotta go polish me shillelagh.